You are listening to Socatis Changemakers, the podcast. Hey guys, it's KJ with Socatis, and this afternoon I'm here with Mr. Todd Belcourt of Social Change.
Hello everyone, how are you?
That's a really deep voice, by the way.
Sorry.
So we just went through this whole skit of the audio and trying to match my audio to his, and I don't think we're going to match today.
Well, that's what Auto-Tune's for.
That's what Audacity is for, yes, absolutely. So for those of you that don't know who Todd is the executive director of a nonprofit called Social Change here in Chicago. And they really focus on transforming lives, organizations, and systems via film, community, capacity building, technical assistance, advocacy, and legal representation. That's a lot. Those are big words.
It is a lot. That's why my voice is a little deep, as I'm a little tired and hoarse from running around the last few weeks.
Yes. He is super busy, y'all, so I'm super thankful that you can make it, so thank you.
No, it's an honor and privilege. I mean, you're doing great work. I looked up some of your past performances, and you've been absolutely incredible in this forum and every other.
Well, thank you. I did not pay him to say that, so thank you. So not only just running the nonprofit, Todd is actually a lecturer in law at the University of Chicago Law School. He teaches a class entitled The New Jim Crow and assists in resolving conflicts via mediation. So we'll get into that a little bit for sure. And yes, he's also gained a lot of rewards through his career, a lot of successes. So 15 honors, including 4 national awards, ranging from the ABA's National Outstanding Young Lawyer of the Year to the White House's Champion of Change. It's impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a wild ride.
Okay.
Yeah. But certainly the chance to do the work that I love and be recognized for is a unique type of blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. You all are doing amazing work. And I couldn't think of anyone else that I would want to interview and have people learn about change and doing good things in our communities and making a true difference. From what I know, what I've learned about social change, you guys really are impacting communities. And not just talking about it, but you guys are taking action.
Don't be trying to get on my good side now. I'm telling you, saying all the right things.
I do really appreciate
it.
Right?
I do really appreciate it. I mean, we started Social Change with a simple idea that we wanted the community members who are most impacted by struggle and hardship and the policies that are promulgated from on high to be the ones who influence their own surroundings, their own policies, and their own ways that their communities are governed. So we just wanted to be a voice to help amplify community voice, and whether it be removing legal barriers to employment or removing some of the mystique and demystifying courts or the legislative process, so if people from all communities can get involved, we're just engaged in the front lines trying to make sure people who are dealing with the issues are also the ones who are at the table making the solutions.
So one thing that really has struck out about social change and the work that you all are doing, and for me, just learning about all of this is completely new. You all aren't just, you know, like I said, talking the talk, and you're not just passing laws or trying to pass laws, but you are actually in the communities doing stuff. You're taking action. And I think to really create change, it's a twofold, right? It's not just the policy, but it's actually being there with the people that you're trying to help and give opportunity. Agree?
Absolutely. I think the biggest sin that a lot of nonprofits or service deliverers make is they assume what's best for the people they're serving. And when you don't take into account the perspectives of those who are directly impacted, you're always going to be awry in some way or form or fashion. So that's where we start. We start by providing community empowerment sessions to community members to help them learn how to navigate the courts and access different legal remedies available to help them overcome barriers to employment. And then from those conversations, from whether it be those sorts of community settings or an art festival where youth who've experienced seasons of homeless are showcasing their work, or serving people during the holiday season, make sure they have warm clothes or food. Until you really immerse yourself in the setting of the people who you're serving, you'll never truly understand or be in a position to properly advocate. So that's what we do. We just make sure we do that as much as we can. And then from those authentic interactions, invite community members to tell us what they think needs to be done, and then do our part to work with them and others to make sure it happens.
Yeah, you Yeah, you guys are doing it right. You really are. And it's quite impressive, the work that you all have done. So thank you. And thank you for, you know, just kind of giving everyone a background on what social change is and kind of describing more of the deeper need, I think, that maybe not a lot of people are aware of. I certainly wasn't aware of, right? It's kind of like you don't want to know, or maybe you know, but you're not sure how to take action. So I think you're bringing that all to reality.
Well, that's why we have our film festival, too.
Yes.
To really try to take away some of the stress or the concern that people generally have about, well, how do I get involved? You know, that's not my community. What do I do? I mean, I don't want to look like I'm flying in or look like some imposter. But in reality, we need everyone to be in the front lines fighting for change. And the film festival is really our fun foray for people to really engage in a community, really, composed of people from all over the world who are concerned about our common humanity. And we have people literally from different countries. Some people don't even speak English, but they just want to be in the environment of other people who are tired of the divisiveness, the dehumanization, the hatred that seems to be pervading our world more and more. So it's a wonderful experience, 3 days in Chicago, 1 day in LA, 1 day in New York. And the point of the experience is to showcase really eye-opening, life-transforming films, documenting everything from human trafficking and abuse against women, women's rights, to child labor, access to water, hunger, the justice system, violence, gangs. I mean, things that we may hear about, but we don't necessarily experience. And the idea is the news provides information, but doesn't necessarily transport you in the same way where you can understand someone's experience who may be someone that you don't know personally, or a particular circumstance you may see foreign on television as, you know, someone being mistreated by police or not having opportunity to get a job or being homeless. But all those experiences are very different when you see it directly from the eyes of the people who are experiencing it. And that's what film allows you to do. And that's what we use as a vehicle for that. But also put it in a fun setting. So we have conversations, we have receptions, we have award-winning filmmakers and actors who are on hand, all just being part of the general conversation and really trying to invite people who are newly inspired to get involved in the movements for change.
That was a lot, so I'm going to back up a little. okay, so 6 years now for the film festival?
This is our 6th year, the Chicago International Social Change Film Festival.
Okay, one more time, say it.
Chicago International Social Change Film Fest.
Is there a hashtag?
Change Fest.
Well, that's a lot easier to say.
Yeah, for good reason.
Okay, so 6 years, so this is number 6. I'm actually going to be there this weekend. I'm super excited. So let's back up to how it all started. Like, why the film festival? What was the compelling event?
Yeah, well, like most all grand decisions, it began with a good friend of mine and I sitting around drinking, Emil Cambry Jr. and I. We were both sharing our frustrations in our relative sectors about, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to convince people to help other people. And the biggest difficulty in that, in my particular case, it's lobbying elected officials to do the right thing, to open up doors of opportunity and increase access to justice. And in his world, it's making sure that we remove some of the barriers to higher education and 21st century skills for people in our communities all across the world. And we needed to figure out a medium, a vehicle to really help people who are just completely foreign to that issue or have no interest on their own, to recognize the common humanity in the issue. And that's like, well, that could be my son, that could be me. Mm-hmm. And when people get to that point, when they see a struggle from their heart versus their brain or their mind, they're more inclined to want to do something about it. So film is the perfect vehicle for that. So we decided to sit down and hash out what this was going to look like. And 6 years later, it's been an incredible ride. We've seen hundreds of films, over 20,000 hours of films over time, and we've had the opportunity to really screen some incredible items and really host people who we would otherwise never have met. And we really think people are not just going to enjoy it this year, but every other year to come.
So one thing, I did take a look at the schedule, and one thing that stuck out to me was the opportunity to engage and have conversation. And I think just, you mentioned this, right? This is just a divisive time in this country. There's just a lot of tribalism, really, I think is the best word. And the fact that you all are opening up conversation in people that just don't know, it's not in their communities, and they feel like they're not affected, or they aren't part of the solution. I was there, right? And so I think that's just a really good move to start a dialogue and to start conversation.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we're just trying to demystify the whole notion of activism. It's not something that's only available to the few. And it's not something that requires a full-time commitment. It just requires a willingness to do more than be behind the computer and get out of your comfort zone some and be willing to engage with people you may not otherwise engage, to learn from them, but also build something with them that could be really beautiful.
Yeah. No, that's really good. That's really good. It's an interesting vehicle when you think of like social change and you think of the film festival, and it's like, it's a good match and you guys are doing it good. So I'm excited.
Well, I appreciate that. If you could tell the philanthropy community, I think that'd be even better.
Well, philanthropy community, if you're listening, we will hashtag the crap out of this whole episode and make sure people are aware.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
I think you're doing a good job where you're, I don't know if demystifying is the word, but kind of breaking that stereotype about nonprofits. At least I had it, right? Just people maybe not even really doing what they're saying they're doing. And you all are on the ground, in the communities, and not just Chicago, right? We're outside of Chicago.
That's right. We have the audacity to be a national organization, despite our very shoestring budget. But that's because it's that important to make sure that we're modeling what this should look like for other nonprofits across the nation. And that's also why we're having our festival not just in Chicago, but also in film epicenters and meccas like Los Angeles and New York.
Nice.
To make sure that we're spreading this movement for change and across the coast, to really continue to grow, but also to make sure people in Chicago realize that, you know, you can go to LA too and have fun over there and meet some people that you may not have otherwise met, or more of the international community that we have engaged in New York. But either way, we need people to continue to be enjoying themselves as part of the process, because doing work for change is very tiring and very taxing. So meeting more good people and surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded and positive is really the best way to go.
Yeah. No, that's good. And I think it goes back to starting that dialogue, and you're bringing together, I think, a lot of people that maybe otherwise wouldn't have a lot in common, or think that they don't have a lot in common.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be there this weekend, so I'm super excited. It's a whole thing. It's like a red carpet. It's like
a
whole event.
It's a production, I promise you. It's in a beautiful auditorium at the Harold Washington Cultural Center in Chicago, okay. 47th and King Drive, on historic King Drive, in a beautiful venue. That's got ample reception space, 1,000 chair auditorium. You can see the screen beautifully from every seat in the house. I checked myself. And we just can't wait to host everyone. Free parking, which in and of itself is its value in gold in Chicago.
Bonus in Chicago.
But definitely don't want to miss opening night. We've got world premieres that are featuring, you know, actors and filmmakers that people know. People know Eamon Walker from Chicago Fire, Gabriella Dawson from Chicago Fire. They know Bakhtar Abdi from, of course, Captain Phillips. And those are people who are featured in our films. And then also, Anthony Anderson from Blackish, he's narrating a film. We've got an incredible lineup. I mean, there's no way that people won't enjoy the films and the camaraderie and the fun of it. We just need to make sure people get there, because once they come every year.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that will help that. Hopefully this episode will like get it out there and people will know, and not just in Chi, but LA and New York as well. And that's exciting, right? First year in other venues, not Chicago.
It is exciting.
Yes.
For certain.
He's looking at me with these eyes that are just like so tired and so exhausted. So.
Well, the work is plenty and the laborers are few. But you just recognize what you're meant to do and do your part. So
talk about that a little bit. The laborers are few. Is that just the biggest challenge, is educating people? People just don't know where to start?
Well, I think people just have different capacities, right? I mean, some people, we need everyone, whether it's big or small contributions, to get engaged. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you really lift the boat even higher. And I think people see the work as so daunting because they don't realize how accessible it can be. Mm-hmm. Changing policies and work with individuals and communities are often overlooked, or, you know, so that's why we provide things. Just donate your clothes, or just come out to an event and enjoy some films, or just donate a little money and we'll give you some feedback on what we're doing, and just try and make sure people recognize we need them to be part of this community, not just because that it's right, makes them feel better about themselves, but it's because that's the only way things are really going to get better, is when we all start pitching in.
It's true, and that's kind of a common theme that we've had on this podcast now, 3 episodes in.
Ow!
I know. Thank you.
That was my little woot woot over here. I'm sorry. That was too dehydrated to get it all the way right.
That's okay. So 3 episodes in, but the common theme I think is everyone has their own gifts, talents, and graces, right? And it's not just a financial capacity to give back. It's your time. It's your talents. It's, you know, everyone has something that they can give, and it's just letting people know that. Just take a look, right? What's inside of you? What are you passionate about? What do you feel very strongly about? And there's always ways to get involved, right?
That's right. That's right. And what we do is we don't put all that onus on ourselves. We partner with a lot of wonderful nonprofits and for-profits, just good people all across mm-hmm. the nation to make sure that we're providing really as many diverse opportunities to give as possible. Mm-hmm. So to get to your point is people have different talents and interests. That we always have some touch point where people can access this and realize, you know, making change is something I can be more engaged into.
Yeah. I like to say you don't necessarily have to work in the not-for-profit sector. You don't have to stand on the corner with a protest sign to affect change, right? It's just every day and every little way, and not just like really big grand ways like you and lobbying and really working directly with policymakers. Anyone can.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that's important for people to know. I didn't know. I mean, I guess I still don't know. There's so much that I don't know and I'm still learning. But anyone and everyone can bring change.
And I think it's also important to recognize that some people just aren't activated yet either, right? So what I mean by that is, you know, I may think, you know, I currently give clothes every year to make sure people are warm during the holidays. But, you know, until I actually, maybe let me go a step further this year and actually go out there and personally hand the clothes to people. And that may touch me in a certain kind of way that makes me want to do even more.
Yeah.
So what I encourage people to do is go a little bit outside of your comfort zone. So even if it's as simple as, let me watch this film that may not be something that's, you know, a topic that I normally pay attention to. And see if it changes not just how you feel about the topic, but your desire to get more involved than you currently are. But the idea is we're trying to activate people and get them more engaged, because once you get them to that point, then they find energy and they find just kind of like maybe even some purpose in doing something they didn't even think is feasible before.
Yeah. No, that's really good. That's really good. Getting out of your comfort zone. That's really good. A lot of people just don't know, I feel like. And I feel like being here in Chicago, a lot of people do know. There's a lot of doers. There's a lot of people taking action. And maybe just on my own journey, I wasn't around those type of people, so maybe this is all new, but it's just like regular for everyone else. But it's good.
I don't think it's regular for everyone else.
Really?
No, I think the journey you're describing is a more common one. Because it's easier to do nothing.
Yeah, no, it really is very easy to be apathetic and just be okay with like, you know, that's not ideal, but what can I do, right? And sometimes I think maybe you get a little overwhelmed because the problem is too big. It is very big, and it's my giving this guy a code, is that really going to do something? And yeah, that little part is going to do something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, $1 trillion is a lot, but if everyone gives a dollar, we have more than enough, right? So that's just how it works. I mean, we just need everyone to do a little bit more, and then we'll see tangible gains, not just on the community level, but on a national level.
Yeah, and we definitely need it in this country now, I think more than ever. So the change that you and your team are making, I think it's the most appropriate time. I don't think there's been another time where we really need it. So, yeah, that has to feel good, right?
Well, it feels good. It's definitely, you know, I'm walking in my purpose and doing what I'm supposed to do. I just, it's hard for me to see all the fruits until it's all done. So I'm just kind of thinking, man, did they bring that step and repeat out yet? Or did all the wrinkles come out of that? Or what's the status of the printing of the program? So I try not to get lost in the minutiae necessary to make sure people have a good time and just really appreciate the grander vision of what it is you're trying to accomplish and look forward to all the excitement. Enjoy that people derive from the festival, because it is a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Enjoy the journey, Mr. Belcour. Enjoy the journey.
That's right.
Those are my words of wisdom for you this afternoon.
Yes, yes.
If I can offer anything, yeah. So, all right, so we talked about the film festival. We talked about it being the sixth year, Chicago, L.A. Let's see, what else? Do what?
In New York.
He's pointing at my cap. So the infamous Yankees cap that is all over my Instagram. Can I tell you how many comments I get in the city about being in a Yankees cap? And they're like, where's your Cubbies hat? And I'm like, y'all don't mess around with baseball in this town.
No, that's an interesting discussion to get into, was that most of the people who are Cubs fans aren't even from Chicago.
Oh, is it?
I'd be willing to wager probably a third are from the Midwest generally.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. There's your baseball lesson for today.
So it's good that you have allegiance to wherever you're from.
Yeah.
Close enough. Close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, I figured that's on my to-do list. Like, I got to pick a team. I've learned
very
quickly.
You got the right colors.
Yeah. Your Cubbies or your White Sox, but you ain't Yankees. That's what I've learned.
Well, you've got the right colors for the right team, so just let that guide your decision.
Okay, that's a whole nother podcast. Okay, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about you. He just gave me a look like, we didn't discuss this in pre-podcast prep. Okay, so this is, I think this is a good question. I think this is a good segue. So all of the accomplishments, everything that you've done, all of the serving, because that's really what you're doing is serving, couple that with your background, a very impressive pedigree with your CV and your bio. Why the sweat, the blood, and the tears, and why not just pack it all in, take that really amazing $250,000, $500,000 job a year and keep it moving? Because it's a lot of work that you're doing.
No, you know, it is always interesting. I wonder if I had gone that route and, you know, been a millionaire by now, but, you know, kept the secret desire of trying to help people in my auspices, would I be able to better fuel the very work that I'm doing now? And that's interesting, because I was fully expecting to get a lot more financial support from the $50 billion philanthropy community that cares about these issues than we have. And I think there's a lot of soul searching I think they need to do in terms of what they're supporting, what they really want to happen in communities. Mm-hmm. But all that's to say, you mentioned, I think, an interesting premise I like to kind of debunk. I think my CV actually doesn't tell about me. I think it tells where I went to school. And it tells the opportunities I've been afforded, but it doesn't tell, you know, what it's like to grow up in a family where my mom is a single mom. We have four kids in a house and a paraplegic brother. It doesn't tell about, you know, what it's like not to have food to eat, not to have lights on and gas on, and what it's like to be called nigga by white people at your school, what it's like to work your way through school, have to sleep on friends' couches, but you can't afford your way. Those are experiences that touch me and that influence my life so profoundly that I couldn't think of anything else that I could possibly do besides putting myself in a position to fight for people and stand in a gap for people like my mom did for us and our families. Mm-hmm. So while you see the kind of outcomes of that, and since she fought and was so wonderful and sacrificing blood, sweat, and tears for me and us, I then had the obligation to do the same thing for others. So that's what I'm doing. Fire shut up in my bones. I can have a thought exercise about what I would do if I was a billionaire, but I can't take the steps necessary to really engage in that life to get to that point, because my conscience won't let me. But I to that point, I am doing other things. You mentioned some of the other things in my CV, like teaching and engaging in mediations and all that. I am trying to diversify my skill set, but also the way in which I position myself financially so I can have a shot to make some outside income streams. I've invested in some items. I'm equity partner and investor in a couple of different things, one called Dynamic Solutions, which is a medical company that's making up some pretty innovative things to help with folks with surgeries in the throat area. Another is Solve, a software startup that's really, in my mind, going to be the preeminent vehicle to help nonprofits really demonstrate their impact in the real-time manner. And it's just, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. because I recognize I don't mind not having much in terms of being, you know, not having a lot of money set aside. But, you know, if I'm to have a family someday or some calamity strikes, I want to be in a position to be able to help pay the hard dollars it costs to send cousins, nephews to school or pay for doctor's bills for my mother or father, heaven forbid. And right now, doing all this work, as much as it touches me and fulfills me, it doesn't provide me that financial security to do all that. So that's why I'm diversifying some of my other activities to hopefully be in a position to do that soon.
Quite impressive. So where are some of our experiences, right? And I think, you know, I guess back,
being that Monday night quarterback or Tuesday morning quarterback. I don't know this in English. I don't know what the saying is.
We've boycotted football, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. We're not talking about the NFL. So yeah, it's easy to look back and see, okay, you know, if this wouldn't have happened, would I have gotten here? If I made this decision, would I have gotten here? But, you know, I think you're so perfectly positioned with your background and your experiences and everything that you just described and how you grew up. We need leaders like that. We need leaders that have the compassion and have the experience and are not far removed from the same complexities, the same lack of opportunities that people in our communities face. So I don't know if that helps, but you know, all of that was not for naught, I think is what I'm trying to say.
No, I'm grateful for the experiences. I mean, I wouldn't have had another upbringing. I certainly wouldn't have asked God for a better mother. I mean, I just, but you know, as you get older and I've been doing this work, I'm impatient by definition in terms of you have to be impatient to demand more, to always push yourself to change the world in a way that's incomprehensible as recently as a year ago, 2 years ago. And that's what we've done. We had 7 bills passed this year alone, which is incredible. I would never have thought that, but already
I'm
thinking.
Skim over that. I'm trying to get that out of you.
Well, it's like, that's the point. Already I'm thinking passed. That's not yeah. enough. I'm already yeah. thinking, well, hell, I mean,
next
veto session, not even next year. Veto sessions in a couple of weeks. What are you doing about that, Todd? I mean, so putting that pressure on myself is something, but you also wonder, man, if I had just $50,000 more, what I could do.
Yeah.
If I had $1 million more, we wouldn't have to deal with all the same issues because we could invest strategically in working and building the capacity for organizations in a really meaningful, authentic way where they could truly not just service people, but teach people how to fight for themselves and better advocate for themselves and be in a position where they're becoming soldiers and leaders rather than just people who are getting services. I mean, we're not doing enough to solve the root causes of problems. We're helping people, we're not liberating people. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating because there's a lot of folks who are invested in serving, but not liberating. And the reason why we continue to have to deal with these issues is because we're not solving the root causes. And
do you want to go into like what those root causes are? Education?
Sure, education is part of it. Economic inequity is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The new Jim Crow is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The systemic issues that result in continuing a cycle of poverty, violence, and prison for just a smaller segment of society.
Yeah.
And as a country, as we continue to engage in practices that permanently cripple our potential, our ability to fulfill our country's potential, then we wonder why we're being bypassed by so many other countries. Because just look at the football stuff, right? I mean, if people who are the way it sounds, if 30% of football fans can make decisions on who would be a football player based on whether or not they would speak out, imagine how weak the league would be. But that's actually the decision being made about everyday people every day. You know, people who speak out, you lose your job. People who are not going to be told what to do in a rude or be mistreated in whatever kind of way, they lose their life. I mean, we systemically try to weed out the people who actually are our strongest leaders because people are scared to be led by. And that's a different podcast, I'm sure, because I'm going in the weeds now. But I think at the end of the day, we're at our best when we make sure everyone, no matter what corner of society they come from, whether the hills of Appalachia or the south side of Chicago, has everything they need to fulfill their potential. And we're so far from that. But we need everyone to recognize that basic understanding and work towards making that actual fact.
Yeah. No, I mean, I sit amazed listening to you because, yeah, it's absolutely everything that needs to happen. And everyone has potential, right? Everyone has a purpose. And there's, unfortunately, people that they just don't have a chance for whatever that reason is. And it's not it's maybe circumstance and not by choice.
That's right. I think we're not doing a good job of giving people options.
Yeah.
And I think that's the government's job, right? To make sure people have options and the ability to fulfill their potential. But also it's on the job of our community members to treat people civilly, show some love, show some grace, show some understanding. And when I talk about the work, because I principally provide legal assistance to people with criminal records, but also generally fight to make sure people who have made mistakes in their past get an opportunity just to work.
Yeah.
And take care of themselves and their families. But what 70 million people in society have to do something that the rest of people in our society don't. And that's generally when they apply for a job, they have to write down the worst experience in their life and be judged by that.
Yeah.
If everyone in society had to write down the worst things they've ever done and then expect someone to then hire them or treat them the same way, everyone, then who would hire whom?
Yeah.
You know, and it's so flabbergasting that people can be so bold as to point a finger and judge people to the point where they would rather that person not be able to take care of their families than to recognize the common humanity and that, you know, I've made mistakes too. Let me talk to this person, see what they're really like. Or let me get a better understanding or some background to what happened. So at least there's some context there. So you're not just judging someone by three words written in black and white, but you're judging someone by a full picture and the full complexity of what people's lives are and what people deal with. I think we're just losing a lot of that. And I mean, the media is part of it because it makes it so easy to compartmentalize and our own stress and then also divide people because we see people as the other and the enemy. Mm-hmm. But I think we're also not doing enough personally to go outside of our comfort zones and talk to someone who doesn't look like you or spend time in an environment that may not be your first choice in terms of what sort of music or whatever you want to do and meet good people from all over.
Yeah.
And that's what the film festival is meant to do.
Yeah, and I think it definitely is. I mean, for me, I grew up in diversity, so I love diversity, but being part-time in Chicago, then part-time in Florida, and pretty much the part of Florida that's the Deep South, you recognize that, yeah, we are, that happens, that still happens. Everything that you just described and pretty much what you described about the new Jim Crow that I actually read months ago and that totally opened my eyes. And I think my own journey, you know, I mentioned some of your experiences, my own journey of just waking up and realizing for me, my faith is not being lived out, right? I say I believe what I believe in my faith in Christ, but how is that manifesting? How is that making a difference, right? I mean, we're definitely here to be our brother's keeper, to bear each other's burdens, and to help those that can't help themselves. So I think that's why I just admire the work that you and your team are doing, because it's just practical, good work.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And you're giving people second chances. I am like the queen of second chances. So I love a good second chance. So, and you're doing that. You're giving people second chances.
Well, I appreciate that. Second chance queen. I appreciate that.
I am. Yes. I will gladly wear that tiara.
I haven't heard that title before, but it has a ring to it.
Yes, it does. I'm keeping it. Those that are listening and joining us, I like to leave them with kind of a just good takeaway. And I think you're the perfect person to let people know what can they do. Like, where do they start?
Well, you start by recognizing everyone can do something, and large or small, whether it's giving clothes, whether it's spending time, but all of that involves doing something that you may not normally do, going a little out of your comfort zone to go to a homeless shelter to give food to people who may need it, or even do something that you may not recognize can be as vital, like going to a festival. But either way, do a little more. Just challenge yourself to do something 30 minutes a week and see what that does to not just change how you view things, but also the ripple effect that it has as a result in changing communities.
So how about for those people that are not in Chicago, that aren't in where social change is branching out? You know, what would you say to those people? Maybe in Pensacola, Florida?
Yeah,
right?
Whether in Pensacola or North Dakota, I mean, the point is you're needed. Your voice, your energy, your talents, you're needed. There's someone who's out there who's looking to be helped, and you're the only person who has the capacity and the ability to really touch them the way necessary to really liberate them. So recognize that we all have other callings beyond what we do 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes 9 to 5 doesn't satisfy that, but whether it does or doesn't, always try to make sure you take some time to do something for others. And whether, no matter where you are, I think you'll find you'll be richly rewarded, whether it's financially or otherwise.
That's good. I think that's a good wrap up.
I appreciate that. I wasn't ready for the takeaway, clearly. I was very verbose.
That was great. That was good. all right. So we are definitely bumping up against time. But Mr. Todd Belcourt, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Y'all need to check out I'm not even going to say it right. I've got the hashtag
ChangeFest. ChangeFest. Like the Lollapalooza for making change and celebrating life and community and wonderful film. We need everyone there.
Okay. And so that is in Chicago this weekend.
Chicago this weekend. Harold Washington Cultural Center. Los Angeles. West LA College. And October 21st. And DCTV. Downtown Community Television. Center in New York.
Sounds like
October 28th.
In the NYC.
That's right.
Like my cap, y'all.
Like the cap.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So thank you. So yeah, you guys got the takeaway from Mr. Belcourt. Wherever you are, wherever in your community, there's always a need, and mm-hmm. there's always something that you can do. And it's just, it can be the smallest of things. It can be the largest of things. And I'm going to totally plug social change right now. So the episode before was my girl in Pensacola, JC Cosentino, who's doing impact investing. That's her specialty. And so we did a whole episode on impact investing. So I'm just going to tell people that if you have the financial resources or you're looking to give, and you don't have to give thousands and millions of dollars, although I think Mr. Belcourt would take those thousands or millions of dollars. I would say check out, for impact investing purposes, check out Chicago Social Change. You want to drop the website?
Yeah, chicagosocialchange.org. And we pride ourselves on giving a larger return on investment than any other nonprofit, because we take the overhead out of it. We take the middle management out of it, and we just make sure all of our money is going directly towards work that transforms communities.
So good. So yes, Impact Invest. I just learned a ton from JC. That was a really good episode. So all right, that was a really long takeaway. So everyone,
the takeaway as long as the podcast.
The takeaway is like a whole nother podcast. All right, so you're gonna come back, and we're gonna do this again, and we'll talk about whatever else that you have going on, because it seems like you always have something going on. So. We will we'll continue, because we are definitely at time now. So
all right. Thank you for your time. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it.
Oh, he's so kind. Okay, y'all. So yeah, you can affect change anywhere at any time, and we all have gifts, talents, and graces. So don't let fear hold you back, and don't let uncertainty hold you back. Just take that first step, and I think you'll like it when you start seeing that your actions promote good change. So until next time on Socrates Changemakers, this is KJ. Ciao.